We shall now turn to Genesis chapter 30, 30th chapter of Genesis, and we shall read again verse 43. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maid servants, and men servants, and camels, and asses. Reading this chapter, we're immediately struck with the evil of polygamy. We can see the jealousy that it caused and the strife. Today in Britain, we don't have a problem with polygamy. And yet we do have a kind of polygamy. We have a kind of serial polygamy, where people have one partner after another, or even sometimes one spouse after another. And it leads to similar problems. It sometimes leads to assault, to jealousy, to hatred, and from time to time to murder. It leads to an inability to develop a true, loving relationship, and so leads to loneliness, single parenthood, single houses, loneliness, neglected old people, and so on. God gave marriage. And he set up the institution at the very beginning, where he not only created Adam, but he then brought to him Eve. A man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. One flesh, yes, almost one spirit. What a great blessing marriage is as it's properly practiced. A lifelong relationship of love and increasing harmony and unity and support and blessing. God's word should be the rule for our lives. And the law of God is called the law of liberty. Some people think that God's law is bondage. Who wants to be bound by God's law and God's law about marriage? We'll do what we want. We'll live the way we like. But does it lead to liberty, to happiness, to peace, to joy, to love, to fulfillment? No, it doesn't. It's by keeping God's law that we will live according to our nature, with God's blessing upon us, living in happiness because we are keeping His law. God's law is good. It's a law of liberty, and we break it at our peril. First here today, we see Rachel's envy. Jacob loved Rachel. He loved her very, very much. He worked for 7 years without wages. Worked for Laban for 7 years in order to have Rachel as his wife. And then he was tricked into marrying Leah instead. In the darkness of the night, Laban, his cunning uncle, brought Leah to him. And he thought it was Rachel. And so he was married to her. Then he was prepared to work for another 7 years. In order to have Rachel. 14 years in all. So Rachel was greatly loved. And Leah, as the Bible puts it, was hated. Well, in comparison to Rachel, Leah was hated. She was neglected. She was loved less. Rachel was obviously the loved one, the special one. And Leah was hated. But God had compassion on Leah because God loves to take the part of those who suffer. And he takes the part of the poor, he takes the part of the oppressed, the part of the downtrodden. And here in this family relationship, God takes the part of the despised, neglected, forgotten Leah. And God blesses her. What a wonderful God we have. A God who is not the God, as it were, of the successful and the prosperous, but a God who is specially the God of those who are struggling and those who are tried and tested and finding things hard and things going against them. The poor and the needy, they find their hope in God. So God takes Leah's part. He has compassion on her. And we see that Leah is given children. She conceives and bears 4 sons, while Rachel has no children. God shuts her womb. And through all this, Rachel is becoming increasingly jealous. With every son that is born to Leah, she's getting more and more jealous. She had her husband's love, but she wants more. She's not content with that. We're very ready to be jealous anyway. And it's very hard for us to be content. Even when we have lots of good things, we find it hard to be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But discontentedness is so typical of man, even of the best of us. The story reminds us, doesn't it, of Samuel's mother, Hannah. Hannah and Peninnah, the two wives of Elkanah. And Peninnah, she had children, but Hannah had none. And Hannah was feeling it more and more and more as the time was passing. She was the special wife. She was the loved wife, Hannah, but she had no children. And you remember her prayer and how eventually the Lord gave to her Samuel. It was hard. Children were valued particularly in Old Testament times. Lo, children are God's heritage, the womb's fruit, his reward. How precious, how wonderful a thing it is to have a child anyway. But especially so in the Old Testament, where children were seen as covenant children, the blessing, the promise being fulfilled. Your children shall be as the sand of the seashore for multitude. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So eventually, in her frustration, Rachel says to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." And Jacob, he gets angry with her. "Am I in God's place? Can I give you children? God has shut up your womb. I can't give you children. You are making a ridiculous demand upon me." But here she is wishing to die because she had become so bitter in her jealousy and not having children. "Am I God," says Jacob, "who have withheld you from bearing children?" Where do blessings come from? They come from God. Where do children come from? From God. Where does our wealth and prosperity come from? From God. Where do all good things come from? From him who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. How important it is to realize that all good things come from God. To look to him, to pray to him for them, to thank him for these good things. And to realize that, yes, without God's blessing, we are poor indeed. But if we have God and God's blessing and God's gifts, how rich we are. And how thankful we should be to God. How we should praise Him and worship Him and thank Him for the good things He sends us. Are you discontented? Are you grumbling about something? Are you complaining about some providence? Something that's hard in your life? Something that's discouraging you? Realize God is the one who gives encouragements and discouragements. God is the one who gives prosperity and takes prosperity away. Look to Him. Pray to Him for the prosperity. And thank Him when the prosperity comes. But acknowledge God in it all. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So we see here then, first of all, Rachel's envy. It was wrong. We should always be content. Secondly, we notice the multiplying of the covenant family. Think of Abraham. God promised him a son, and he had to wait and wait and wait for many years. Indeed, until his wife was 90 years of age before the son was born. Think of Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah were married for 20 years. And there was no children. There were no children. And then we're told that God heard Isaac's prayer. And his wife bare twins, Jacob and Esau. And now it's Rachel, and she has no children. What is she to do? Well, she says to Jacob, take my maid, my slave girl. Take her as your wife, and then you will have children through her. And she will bear children, as it were, on my knees. And I will claim them as mine. And in this way I will have children. And it reminds us of how Sarah did the very same thing with Hagar, her maid, and how they had Ishmael and all the problems and the troubles connected with that, and the hurt feelings and the disappointment, and indeed how down through the centuries ever since then the children of Hagar, the children of Ishmael, the Arabs and the Jews have constantly been in conflict one with another. So, anyway, in this situation, Jacob takes Rachel's maid, and she conceives and bears a son, and Rachel calls the son Dan, meaning judged. God hath judged me. God hath taken my part and given to me a son. And then she bears another son, Naphtali, meaning wrestling. I have wrestled with my sister and prevailed. I've now been able to have children. Meanwhile, Leah, noticing that she had ceased to have children, in her desperation does the same thing and gives her slave girl Zilpah, to Jacob. And through Zilpah, two children are born. Gad, a troop cometh. Asher, happy am I. And then we read of a strange bargain taking place. Leah's oldest boy, Reuben, is out in the fields and comes across some mandrakes. Mandrakes were a fruit that was regarded as helping fertility. Takes these home, and Rachel sees them, and Rachel says, give me some of these mandrakes. She thought the mandrakes might help her to have children. And Leah turns round and says, you've taken away my husband from me. Why should I give you my mandrakes, my son's mandrakes? And So Rachel makes a bargain. You can have Jacob tonight if you give me the mandrakes. And so the bargain is done, and Leah goes to meet Jacob, and Jacob goes to be with Leah that night. So sad to see all this bargaining and quarrelling and dissension that was going on amongst them. Leah says, I've hired you with my son's mandrakes. And so her husband spends the night with her, and as a result of that, Issachar is born. Issachar meaning hired. And then she has another son, Zebulun, a rich dowry. That's the meaning of Zebulun. And then she has a girl, Dinah. So, when we look at this whole picture, what do we see? Well, in a sense, we see how the covenant family is growing. We see things going on that shouldn't be going on. A man should have one wife for life. And here we see Jacob with four different wives. Polygamy. It was practiced in the Old Testament, but it's never praised. And it always brings trouble. And yet, out of this wrongdoing, we see God's goodness and God's blessing. How often God turns evil into good. God's blessing in that the covenant family increased in number. They multiplied. And eventually, 12 sons were born who were the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. God multiplied the family according to his promise that they would be as the sand of the seashore for multitude. God's goodness, multiplying the covenant family. How we must look to the Lord in everything. And even when we do things wrong and we get ourselves into a mess, we must not despair. God always has an answer. God has a way of sorting things out. And in God, there is deliverance. Thirdly, we see here Rachel's prayer answered. Verse 22. God remembered Rachel and hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son. And she said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph. And said, the Lord shall add to me another son. God hearkened to her. First there was the envy and the strife. And then there was anger with Jacob that Jacob wasn't giving her children. And then she uses her slave maid to have children. But that's not satisfying either because it's not really her children. And then she tries the mandrakes. But that doesn't seem to work either. And at last she prays. And God hearkened to her prayer. God remembered her, hearkened to her prayer, and opened her womb. Why is it that it's only after having tried everything else that people turn to pray? Remember in the Gospels, the woman with the issue of blood. For 12 years she had been suffering with this illness. And she had tried all the various doctors that were recommended. And she had spent all her money on these doctors and their various medicines and procedures. And she'd suffered greatly because of the discomfort of the various procedures which were carried out. And then at last she comes to Jesus. Touches the hem of his garment, and immediately she's healed. If only we'd come to Christ first. Come to him right away. Don't leave it till the very end, but come to him. Start with prayer. And then we will see God wonderfully answering our prayers. And what a blessed experience it is when our prayers are answered. I love the Lord because my voice and prayers He did hear. I, while I live, will call on Him who bowed to me His ear. God is so good hearing our prayers. God here answers the prayer of Rachel and gives her children. The children are God's gifts to her. She calls her first son Joseph, which means to add. God will add to this another son. She has faith. She believes that she will have another son. It's interesting to see how, perhaps through this very experience of not having children, she herself was brought to conversion. In her desperation, she turned to the Lord and she sought Him and she found Him. And here we see her when her first son is born. She says, God's going to give me another son too. She was putting her trust in God. And God was hearing and answering her prayer. And she did have another son, Benjamin, some years after. She had said to Jacob, give me children or I die. And she does die when she gives birth to Benjamin in childbirth. There was a chastisement there. The death did come. It's so wrong to be frustrated with God, to be angry with God. The child does come, but death comes also. But we see God's mercy here answering our prayer. And what an encouragement that is to you and me in our situations to pray to the Lord, to pray even when things seem to be so negative, so much against us. And when it is good, and when it is for the Lord's glory, He will give us an answer to our prayers. Fourthly, Laban recognizes that he is blessed for Jacob's sake. Verse 27, Laban said, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. 14 years have passed. Jacob now wants to return to his home in the land of Canaan, to his family back there. He now had a large and growing family of his own. He was still a stranger in a foreign land. He wasn't settled there really. He longs for home. And he wants to go back. And he says to Laban, give me my wife, my children, and let me go. But Laban recognizes that God has blessed him for Jacob's sake. He had little before Jacob came, and now he has huge flocks and herds. Jacob was a gifted shepherd, a hard-working shepherd and stockman. But also, there was a supernatural blessing. And this is recognized. The Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. What a witness that was. And many blessings come for the sake of Christians. And it's a great witness. God is blessing because of the Christians. God blesses families because of the Christians in that family. God blesses workplaces because of the Christians there. God blesses neighborhoods because of the Christians there. And on the opposite, we think of Sodom, how few Christians there were there and how it was destroyed. If there had been 10 Christians in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have been saved. The place would have been saved and God's judgment would not have come down upon it. Except the Lord had left us a remnant. We had been as Sodom and like unto Gomorrah. But the Lord has left us a remnant. And it's because of God's people in Glasgow that Glasgow's not destroyed. God protects it because of His people. Laban says, I have learned by experience. I have found out that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. What blessings come to people for Christians' sakes. What a witness that is in itself. Let us seek with God's blessing to be a blessing to all whom we meet and wherever we go. And finally, notice how Jacob prospers. Laban says, please stay on. 14 years have passed. The 7 years for Rachel and then another 7 years for Rachel. The 14 years have passed, but Laban wants Jacob to stay on and says, what wages do you want? I'll pay you whatever wages you set. And Jacob said, I don't want you to give me anything, but this is what I want in order to provide for myself. Sheep are normally white, the goats normally brown, but the sheep who have some brown in them, or the goats who have some white, or the sheep that are striped or have patches of different colours or speckled, these will be mine from now on. Give me these as wages. Take away from amongst the flocks all those that are part coloured. And then it will be obvious in the future my wages and that I have not stolen from you. And Laban thought, well, it's a good deal, because there were very few of the sheep and of the goats that entered into this ring-streaked, speckled or spotted category. And so he thought this would be a very good way of paying Jacob, that it would be good from his own point of view, that he would be successful in this way. And then we're told about Jacob's trick, how he takes the wood and he cuts off the bark and he puts this striped wood with the white coming through in the water troughs. And how the animals came down and how they conceived there in the water troughs and so on. Whether this trick was of any value or not, it's not actually said. It may be, or it might not have been. But we notice from the next chapter, in verses 7 to 9, that it was God that was prospering and giving to Jacob the spotted, the speckled, and the ring-streaked. Chapter 31 at verse 7. Your father deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. If he said, thus the ring-streaked shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring-streaked. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and gave them to me. So Jacob recognizes that at the end of the day it was God who gave to him his wages, and God who gave him his prosperity. And through all this, God was multiplying the flock of Jacob and enriching him. Prosperity comes from God. Jacob mightily prospers. Laban changes his wages many times, but it didn't matter how he changed his wages. Jacob still prospered. The flocks that were to be his wages increased, and the best of the cattle and the strongest of the cattle were Jacob's, and the weakest were left for Laban. It's God who gives us our prosperity and our riches. We are to recognize that. Whatever we have, it comes from God. Give God the thanks and the praise for it. Trust in God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. The world are the other way around. They seek first riches and prosperity, and they get neither. But the Christian, seeking God first, is blessed by God in the things of this life and the life to come, having a heaven here as well as in the world to come. Wealth comes from God. We think of the words in the prophecy of Malachi about tithing. Prove me now herewith, says God. Bring the tithes into my storehouse and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you down such a blessing as that you shall not be able to receive it. When we give to God, when we give our tithe to Him, God gives to us prosperity. And the more we give to God, the more, in a strange way, He gives to us. God is no man's debtor, and God prospers us as we give to Him. Jacob's prosperity, showing the kindness, the goodness, the love, and the provision of the Lord for him. Trust in the Lord, and He will give you the things of this life, as well as the life which is to come.